Hello and welcome to Natural Focus. My name is David Boag and this podcast is dedicated as a celebration of the natural world. I know I usually do my podcast on a Monday, but yesterday was Easter Monday. At least it's Easter Monday here in the UK. I notice actually, looking at my diary, it's also a public holiday in Australia, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, as well as here in the UK, but it's not a public holiday in America. So there you go. In the US, you didn't have a holiday yesterday, but we did here. Being a public holiday, of course, my wife decided it wasn't a good day to be doing a podcast. She had other jobs and other things for me to do, and so I'm a day late doing the podcast. In fact, I was messing around in the garden. I say messing around. I was doing a bit of gardening. That sounds rather grand, doesn't it? Yeah, I was doing some gardening yesterday. Spring is really advancing rapidly. The lawn needs cutting now and things like that. Hey, birds in the garden. They're nesting. Well underway now. My blackbirds in my holly bush, they've only got eggs at this stage. But I did see, as I went on a drive the other day, I did see some a blackbird carrying food. So they've obviously got chicks somewhere or other tucked away in the secret location. Actually, that's quite a good point. We talk about the birds, or I refer to the bird being having tucked its nest away in a secret location. And in effect, all of these small birds, the passerine birds, well, the garden birds, the songbirds, you know the sort of birds that I mean, all of these birds somehow or other need to protect their eggs, they need to protect their young from predators of one form or another. Here in England, birds such as magpies, the crow family, would be searching for birds' eggs and young. So would some of the mustardae family, things like stoats and weasels and that kind of thing. Those sort of creatures would be very eager to find the young of the birds. So, of course, the battle is on, as it were. The birds hide their nest. They make their young as secure as they possibly can whilst the predators are searching and so on. So there is this kind of conflict, a battle that is on all the time. But every bird, well, I say every bird, yeah, every bird overcomes that problem in their own way, in a different kind of way. I'm just trying to think how I can illustrate that. Hang on. Okay, I just thought, you see, some birds, let's take the woodpecker family, that's an obvious situation. Woodpeckers create these really secure nests, pretty secure nests in trees where they tunnel into a tree, as you know, to hammer their way into a tree, and they create a cavity inside the tree. The hole is only just large enough for the adult bird to pass through, which means that nothing larger than a woodpecker can actually get in the hole, so any bigger predators can't get there. And by creating that cavity, they are creating as secure a place as they possibly can for the youngsters to be reared. And in actual fact, many other birds agree with them, because other birds that aren't capable of creating their own nests in that way would like to take over an old kingfisher nest. Kingfisher, what am I talking about? That's a different species. Would like to take over an old woodpecker's nest. Birds such as starlings, for example, would also nest in cavities, and they would like to take over an old woodpecker's nest hole. And so they use that security that the woodpecker created. Many other birds nest in cavities. The tit family, blue tits, great tits. In America, chickadees they're referred to. Yeah, you refer to them as chickadees, fine. But there, many, many birds here in England and in other countries use cavities, holes in trees, rotted bits out, that kind of place to find a really secure location. So that's one way of doing it. But there are other ways, of course. Other birds select locations that might seem very obvious, but are really inaccessible, really difficult to get at. Here in this situation, I'm thinking in my mind, anyway, in particular, of weaver birds in Africa. How that quite often the nests are hanging at the end of slender branches, and they're dangling perhaps even over water. And therefore, it's very difficult for predators to actually get at the nest. So that, again, is a way of giving the birds some form of security. Others may create their nests really quite high and in a precarious kind of location, which gives them protection from mammalian, ground or mammal-type predators. It gives them that kind of protection. So that's another way, is by producing or creating nests in unusual or difficult to access places. But there's yet another way, and that, of course, is to hide the nest very effectively. And the nest can become almost part of the surrounding countryside, you know, really blend into the bush in which it's created, or really mould into the ground and just seem to disappear in a kind of camouflage type way. So that's yet another way that birds have designed and devised to come up with protecting their young and protecting their eggs. Actually, we could go on forever, it seems. The more I think about it, the more ideas I come up with about how birds actually try to find a secure or create a secure or invisible or whatever location in which to raise their young. I often think that birds' nests, if we take the traditional sort of cup-shaped nest, if you know what I'm talking about, you know, traditional kind of ordinary nest. Now, that is almost as distinctive as the bird is itself. You can almost, you know, you can look at a nest and you can say that belongs to a particular species, even if the bird isn't around and about. I can give you quite a good illustration of that. Here in England, we have two species of birds that are very closely related and actually look very similar. A lot of people might confuse a mistle thrush with a song thrush. Yeah, they're both very similar in appearance. Both of them, of course, therefore, being closely related, create open cup-shaped nests. But let's think about it. Where does the mistle thrush create its nest? Well, it creates its nest quite often high up, somewhere between maybe 10 and 20 feet above the ground, yeah? And it creates its nest usually in a fairly open location, but maybe the fork of a tree or something like that, but often fairly close to the trunk, and often there's a little bit of ivy associated with it, okay? So what does it create its nest out of? Well, it creates its nest out of dry grasses, dry roots, and dead moss, and it incorporates mud within the nest, okay? So that then has described the mistle thrush's nest. What then about the song thrush? Now, where does the song thrush create its nest? Well, never in a high open location. It is always between about 3 to 6 feet from the ground, okay? And it is always not in an open location, but within a dense location, a dense kind of dense cover, thick cover. And usually there's some kind of thorn associated with it, bramble or holly or something prickly associated with it. So what does it create its nest out of? Ah, well, it creates its nest out of dry grasses, dry roots and dead moss. And it incorporates mud within the nest. And you say, no, that's the same. That's not fair. No, hang on a minute. Having done that, it then lines the nest with a delightfully smooth, beautiful layer of mud. Which is not mud, actually. But it kind of looks like mud, all right? But it is very, very distinctive, quite different to the mistle thrush's nest. And although they're really closely related, the mistle thrush and the song thrush, their nests are just as distinctive as the birds are. Hey, and once the eggs are in there, crikey, there is no confusing it. There's no doubt about that. They are very different indeed. And so it is then that all the different birds, many different birds, create their nests in a whole variety of different ways to basically create secure locations in which to raise their young. I was just thinking, actually, as I was doing this, that there was another bird, there's plenty of other birds, rather, that actually use water as a location to nest. And they nest literally on the water. Birds such as the coot family and the moorhen family, grebes, many, many birds like that create nests on the water so that the water forms a moat, in effect, all the way around the nest, giving it a tremendous security from predators. Well, I say tremendous. Yes, sure. I know about avian predators. I know that birds will fly in and could take eggs and that kind of thing. And I know about mink and otters and, you know, I know that. But by and large, a cat isn't going to sort of just leap into the water on the odd chance that it may find some eggs. And weasels and stoats don't go swimming hoping they may find some eggs. You know, it gives it some form of protection from predators. And so the battle is on whenever you go out there and you see the different things that are going on around and about you. You have to kind of bring it all together in your mind. It is a web of life. Nothing exists on its own, and everything relies upon something else. But although they rely, animal life relies upon, and plant life relies upon other things, it is also predated, if you like, or parasitized by other things as well. There is a constant battle, a constant friction, a tension that exists between nature. Well, that's pretty much taken me up to time now. I think I'll take a break now and perhaps catch you again in a week's time. I do hope that you're enjoying these podcasts. Do let me know. I love to hear from you. You know I like hearing from you. It's great. I've got contacts all over the world as a result of this podcast. It's amazing. So do write to me, david@naturalfocus.co.uk. And my website, of course, I want you to go and visit the website. Go visit my website, have a look, see what you think, which is, of course, naturalfocus.co.uk, www.naturalfocus, N-A-T-U-R-A-L-F-O-C-U-S, naturalfocus.co.uk. Go and have a look, and then write to me. Let's hear your thoughts. Let's find out about the things that you want me to talk about. Do you want me to talk more about photography, or more about the natural world, more about Africa, more about America, more about England, more about this or that? I don't know. You tell me what you want, and let's kind of get a community going here a bit more. And I look forward to catching you again in about a week's time. Okay, until then, bye-bye for now.